The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, welcome home to Israel to 225 new Olim who arrived this morning from North America, from the USA and from Canada under the auspices of the Nefesh B'Nefesh organization. Great excitement at Ben Gurion Airport as the chartered El Al flight arrived with all of those new Olim coming off the plane. Appropriately named plane, El Al plane called Herzliya. And of course bears the name of Theodor Herzl, the founding father of the modern Zionist organization. The flight landing almost exactly 125 years after the first Zionist Congress took place in Basel. That will be commemorated in the next few weeks with a conference that's due to be held in Basel to commemorate 125 years since that momentous occasion, even though I think the occasion itself was probably less momentous, and what came afterwards has been amazing momentous in terms of what has been achieved in 125 years and where we are today. So wonderful scenes at Ben Gurion Airport and a lot of excitement as those Olim got off the plane. Another great story which I wanted to share with you, because unfortunately we've been having to talk so much about not such great things, but 12 liver and kidney transplant operations were performed at the Hadassah University Medical Center at the Ein Kerem Hospital over the past 2 weeks, which sets a new Israeli record. No other Israeli hospital has managed to achieve that. The transplant team is headed by Dr. Abed Kalela, who is an Arab surgeon from East Jerusalem. He is an expert in general surgery and heads up the hospital's transplant unit. And in less than 2 weeks, the team performed 6 liver transplants and 6 kidney transplants. Some of those people who received the new organs have already been discharged and gone home. Some people were wondering whether the increase in the number of transplants comes as a result of the huge number of people who have died on Israel's roads in recent weeks. And the answer is no. No connection at all between those two things. Apparently, these days, up to 250 Israelis choose to donate their kidneys each year. And quite a number of people are also willing to donate liver lobes. And we're talking about both from live donors as well as families of those people who have recently passed away. Organ donation in Israel is becoming more and more of a thing, much more popular. There are halachic issues associated with whether one should be allowed to donate organs after death or not, but I'm not planning to get into the whole halachic
debate. So it's actually interesting that you're speaking about this today, because we actually are focusing on it quite extensively on the show. In fact, we're going to be talking to Hatzolah a little bit later here in South Africa, and we're talking to a member of the Chief Rabbinate Office in Israel also in the next hour or so. So this is something that we are focusing quite significantly on today.
There's a lot to talk about in terms of halachic issues, but in Israel, what I can tell you is that more and more people are going around with donor cards. Somehow the halachic issue has been resolved to the satisfaction of many people who are happy enough to go around with donor cards and be willing to make these donations. So a very, very special achievement by the Hadassah Ein Kerem Hospital in Jerusalem.
Absolutely incredible. Really very, very much so. Now let's take a look at some of the other stories, of course, that we wanted to talk about. Hundreds of people attended the funeral yesterday of the IDF soldier killed by friendly fire.
Yeah, we spoke about this very, very sad story yesterday, and we now know that the victim in this friendly fire incident was Staff Sergeant Natan Fitoussi. He was buried yesterday in the military cemetery in Netanya. He was posthumously promoted from the rank of sergeant to the rank of staff sergeant. And there were hundreds of people who attended the funeral, family members. His brigade commander eulogized him at the funeral, as did his sisters. A very, very sad event indeed. And of course, as we spoke about yesterday, And there will be an investigation into exactly how this happened. We understand that the soldier who was responsible for pulling the trigger, which killed Staff Sergeant Natan Fitusi, is in a psychologically very sensitive situation, not doing particularly well at all. We understand he has made a special request to meet with the family of Natan Fitusi to try to explain from his perspective what went on. There can be absolutely no suspicion that this was done with any intention. Obviously, when young men are out in hostile environment, when there are terrorists moving around, when it's under the cover of darkness, and when unexpected things happen, unfortunately, accidents like this do happen, and we can't blame individuals for that, because, of course, all of these young men and women are out there to serve the state of Israel and to try and maintain the security of our country. And there can be no suspicion that this was anything other than a very, very tragic accident.
A terrible one indeed. Arguments continue after the death of five children during Operation Breaking Dawn and who was responsible for firing the missile that killed them. Are there differing versions now?
Yeah, well, there are differing versions, and some of these differing versions are coming from the same sources, i.e. the Israeli security services, because this was an event that took place in the Jabalia neighborhood inside Gaza. And we saw so many pictures and so many reports about, first of all, those five children, four of whom I believe came from the same family, which is a great tragedy. And the fact that they were killed in the last short while of the conflict that took place, Operation Breaking Dawn. And there were videos showing how missiles were fired by Palestinian Islamic Jihad and how they did U-turns and came back, more or less landing almost where they took off from. And the IDF went to quite some length to explain that they weren't active at the time in that area. Now, apparently, there are sources within the Israeli Defense Establishment who are contradicting that particular view and suggesting that the IDF may well have been responsible for the deaths of those five children, and that the IDF were, in fact, active around that time in that area. I don't know that this is yet proved beyond a reasonable doubt, but there are certainly some questions being asked within the Israeli Defense Establishment as to whose rocket it was that actually killed those children. But there are a few things that we can say which are relevant to this discussion. The first of which is that there can be very little doubt that Palestinian Islamic Jihad and other Gaza organizations operate from within residential areas. They have their people, their operatives roaming around within residential areas. They are willing to fire rockets from within blocks of flats and from within built-up areas. So trying to fight a war or an operation or a battle, whatever you wish to call what went down, trying to fight it from within a residential neighborhood is never going to end well. It doesn't matter whose rocket lands. It doesn't matter who is responsible for whatever happens next. The fact that the battle is being fought from within a built-up area where there are residents, where there are individuals, private citizens roaming around, is never going to end well. And to try to somehow contradict or to balance up the possibility that the IDF might have been responsible for the death of these five children, there are quite a number of videos that are going around coming from Operation Breaking Dawn, which show pilots who are hovering above a particular target, which has been laid down as a military target. And then you see in their sights and you hear the communication with the ground control saying there are children roaming around, and you actually see on the video footage little red circles around the fact that they see children running around the neighborhood, and the pilots are saying, we are not going to drop our missile while those children are running around the neighborhood. And then we see a similar video which shows tanks which are targeting a particular military target, and then showing civilians running around and the operators from the Israeli side saying, we are not releasing the weapon, we're not releasing the missile until such time as we know that there is clear space around our target and that there are no civilians and particularly no children running around there. So I don't think that there can be any doubt that the IDF has a real philosophy around the fact that it doesn't want to hurt civilians and particularly not children. And it does look to see whether there are civilians around their targets before they push the button to release the missiles. So where children are killed, of course, we all mourn the deaths of children. Doesn't matter from which side the children come, because children really shouldn't be involved in the conflict. But it is enormously difficult to fight a battle when it's being fought from within the center of a residential neighborhood.
Absolutely. A very, very concerning and a terrible story either way. The Israeli men's marathon team has won the team gold medal at the European Athletics Championships in Munich.
So, Howard, this goes to your
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, I'm glad that I didn't disappoint you. Because, of course, very frequently when we talk about Jews in sports, we think about the typical kind of Ashkenazi background Jew who spent most of his time in a yeshiva or in some sort of an academic institution and not perhaps being particularly sporty. But the good news in Israel is that we have a great mix of people coming from all backgrounds. And the fact that the Israeli team has managed to win the team gold medal at the marathon event at the European Athletics Championships is evidence of the Ethiopian connection and influence that Israeli sporters have, because four out of the five team members for the Israeli marathon team are all Jews who have immigrated from Ethiopia over time. And in fact, two of them won the individual silver and bronze medals in the marathon event. And the way that the marathon team event works, because this is a new event, a new medal that's being awarded for a team event, because marathons are generally an individual sport. But the team event says that for each country, the times of the top three finishers in the individual event will be added together, and the team with the lowest time for the top three finishers will be the winner of the team event. And that was Israel, because Israel's runners came second and third. I'm not quite sure where our third place runner, Omer Ramon, where he finished, but we managed to take in the individual event both the silver and the bronze, and that was only because the German runner overtook our leading runner, who was Mahu Teferi. He won the silver medal, but was in the gold medal position until literally a few meters before the finishing line, when he was overtaken by the German runner, who ultimately won the individual gold. And he was followed very closely by Gausha Ayala, who picked up the bronze medal for Israel, and he was joined in third place for Israel by Omer Ramon to get the gold medal for our marathon team, which is really, really great news, and comes exactly 50 years after 11 Israeli athletes were murdered at the Munich Olympic Games. And of course, we can't lose sight of the significance of this event having taken place in Munich exactly 50 years after those Israeli athletes were murdered by the members of the Black September terror organization. And it links into a story which came out of Berlin yesterday, which is where a Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas is visiting, and he was at a press conference with the German Chancellor, and one of the questions that was asked of him in the press conference was, are you willing to apologize now, 50 years later, for the death of those 11 Israeli athletes who were murdered by Palestinian terror organizations? To which Mahmoud Abbas answered, well, Israel has committed massacres and 50 holocausts against the Palestinian people. In other words, I am not going to be apologizing for anything that might have happened back then. Of course, has caused outrage by that response. And what's probably caused more outrage within Germany as a result of that response is the fact that the German Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, didn't actually stand up and say something at the time in live feed during the press conference, but afterwards only chose to make a statement saying
to be fair to him, he was in a very difficult position. Being a diplomat, being the chancellor, he's on stage, he's got a guest in his country, and I would imagine it even took him a moment to process what was actually being said, because I'm pretty sure he didn't see that coming.
He didn't see that coming, and I don't think Mahmoud Abbas saw that coming, but we saw a bit of live, raw response.
The mask slipped.
And it was exactly, the mask came off, there was no coordination, there was nothing, this was just a raw response to a question that he hadn't anticipated, and it just sometimes the little truths come out in those moments, and we saw it happening yesterday with Mahmoud Abbas. One last thing before I let you go on the sports front. Anastasia Gorbenko has won gold for Israel at the European Swimming Championships. For the second year in a row, she managed to defend her title in the individual medley, 200 meters individual medley. So another gold medal for Israeli athletes. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought, indeed. Leslie asking about currents. We don't have a lot of time, but crazy sea currents. Is this something that you know about, Anthony?
I haven't seen anything about crazy sea currents, but I would be very willing to talk a little bit more about it when I've been down to the sea. What we do know is that...
Yeah, we're going to have to ask you to go and check it out yourself. You know, spend some time at the ocean and then come back and report to us.
We'll do. I know that fortunately the jellyfish season is now over and the jellyfish have cleared out. We do get some crazy sea currents from time to time. It's sometimes very misleading when you look at the peaceful Mediterranean Sea and you just see what looks almost like a lake. And when you go in there, it can be very misleading. I will check out about crazy sea currents, and I promise Leslie and the other listeners that I will come back and let you know about it.
It's 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, you can catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.